Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to speak with Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee, the director and deputy director of the Office of Police Oversight Monitor for the City of Fort Worth. We have more questions than we have time tonight for these two women. The Office of Police Oversight Monitor was established in February of 2020 to address the many concerns that people had with this police department. Tonight, we want to know more about their office, what it has done, and what it will do to knock a dent in the number of complaints that have been made against this department. So ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth for the very first time, Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee. I'm going to open your phone lines. Good evening, ladies. Welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth. Adrian, your phone line is open. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, Ms. Hines. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good.
Good evening.
This is Kim Neal.
Good. And Ms. Huckabee, do I hear you?
Yes, ma'am. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. Listen, tell us a little bit about you all and your experience prior to coming to the Office of Police Oversight Monitor here in Fort Worth. Ms. Neal, we'll start with you.
Sure. So prior to coming to Fort Worth, I was the director of a civilian oversight agency in Cincinnati, Ohio, for 5 years. I ran a department that was a slightly different form of civilian oversight than our monitor's office here in Fort Worth, where we actually did separate independent investigations of police officers that were in addition to the internal affairs investigations. But we also did the community engagement piece like our office does, as well as monitor and review uses of force and did community engagement as well. And we had a board, a civilian oversight board of volunteers in Fort Worth that our office oversaw and administered on a monthly basis to hear the cases of alleged misconduct by police officers in Cincinnati. Prior to that, I have probably over 25 years of experience in conducting investigations, and it was of government employees as a whole, including police officers at the federal, state, and local levels. I also am originally from Washington, D.C., graduate of Georgetown University, and have a law degree from the University of Baltimore in Baltimore, Maryland. I have I'm a lifelong advocate of various social justice issues in the community and volunteer. And also, since we've been here and opened our doors in Fort Worth, we also partnered with Texas A&M Law School to sponsor internships in our office, as well as did last semester, the fall semester, an externship on civilian oversight of law enforcement for the city of Fort Worth. So that was an exciting time for us. And Catherine,
wow.
I'll pass it on to you.
My name is Catherine Huckabee, and this is my ninth year with the city of Fort Worth. I've been with Kim for about 8 or 9 months, and prior to that I was the manager of the community engagement office under the communications umbrella. Prior to that I worked for a previous municipality doing very similar work with community engagement and outreach communication, and I have about 18 years experience as a mediator in the state of Texas as well.
Wow. So the office was established in February 2020. Ms. O'Neill, when they brought you in, what was the mission that they wanted you to accomplish? We know some of the things that were going on in the city at that time as far as with the police department, but what was the role as they defined it to you that it would be?
So the role was primarily, really, the initial role was to get the office up and running. The city knew that it had to put something in place as a result of the recommendation made by the Task Force on Race and Culture. And so they wanted us to basically assess as best we could the culture in the city as it related to police and community relations. And our mandate was really to enhance those relationships as well as identify deficiencies and work on improving and those deficiencies and making recommendations to the police department as it relates to its policies and procedures, because we want to make sure that the police department, every aspect of the police department that touches a citizen is equitable and fair, and that was what the city primarily tasked us with at the very beginning, and that's what we continue to do.
Okay. So was anywhere in there anything about accountability and transparency in the police department in terms of your office, some kind of way kind of being a mirror for the people of Fort Worth to better understand how things were going and why there were so many complaints against the police department?
Yes, ma'am. So that is the premise of civilian oversight of law enforcement. So if a city at any time, including Fort Worth, wants to implement civilian oversight, that is the premise of it. Those are the two principles behind it, accountability and transparency. And absolutely, an office like our office, although we're one form of civilian oversight, an office like our office is definitely tasked with that because that is the purpose of the concept as it was created back in the early 1900s.
I think what has been, I guess, stated the most about your department is people are not clear on who oversees you. Like, you're the department head for the oversight monitor's office, but who do you report to?
So I report to the city manager. And I understand why there's confusion, because initially when the office was when the council and the mayor passed the ordinance, and it was a prior council and mayor, of course, and I had not started with the city yet, it was written that there would be a reporting piece to the deputy city manager at the time, who since retired, and the city manager. And so the community spoke up about that. And was very adamant that the position, my position, should report to the city manager, because they felt that since the police chief reported to the deputy city manager, that this position should report to a higher level, and the higher level is the city manager. So changes were made internally, and I do report to the city manager as of today.
Ms. Huckabee, I'll ask you this question. Give us an example of a case where you would see an issue. This can be hypothetical or maybe one that you've already had. Give us a scenario or an example of a case in which you all saw a potential problem or would see a potential problem and then would recommend a policy change.
Kim is really the one that focuses on policy recommendations directly with the chief of police. And so I think that it's probably better for her to address the specific cases in a scenario that might be useful for you. I know you're wanting to talk about recommendations, and so I want to make sure that we're articulating that in the way that's best.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It could be hypothetical or it could be a past case. We're just trying to get an understanding of how you all, you know, what types of things would be on your radar to, you know, recommend a policy change for. So, Kim, we'll direct that question to you.
Okay, absolutely. So I tell you, one of the things, first I want to say, and I'm sure you know this, Ms. Hines, that when we started in March, it was just a couple of weeks before COVID hit and the city completely shut down. And so we had to kind of rethink, and it was two of us on staff at the time, we had to really rethink how we were going to reach out to the community members and talk with the community members. We started out the first week that I started speaking face-to-face with community groups, and then we had to quickly switch to virtual. But overwhelmingly, what we heard from community members who either reached out to our office or we reached out to them was about the complaint process at the police department. So while community members wanted us to review cases that had already been decided or complaints that had already been investigated and decided by the police department just to see if the process was fair and equitable so they would pass complaints, what came out of that, our reviews, was that the system of reaching out to community members by the police when community members filed complaints was not as transparent as it should be. Community members often voiced the concern that they were filing complaints and they were not receiving communications back concerning the status of the complaints and or whether their complaints had even been investigated and closed. And it wasn't happening all the time, but it was happening more often than not. And also they may have had verbal conversations, but nothing in writing. And so in looking and trying to historically trace some of these complaints that had already been filed and decided, we also discovered that it was hard to kind of track the footprint of a complaint from the time it was received by the police department to the time that it was decided on by the police department. And so right off the bat, we asked the police department and recommended to the police department to put a system in place where once a complaint is received, it is automatically assigned a case number that they would then offer citizens so they could be used as a tracking tool for citizens when they called about their complaints. Two, ensure that every complaint that's filed with the police department, a communication is sent to that citizen acknowledging that the complaint had been received and that the police department was going to look into it. And then three, that whatever the final conclusion was on that investigation, that that also be a written communication to the community member to let them know the status of the complaint. And so all of those recommendations were initiated, and that was under the former Chief Krause, and that is still the system as it is today.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that as an example, because what I'm hearing is you can file a complaint through IED, and for anybody that doesn't know what that means, that's Internal Division. But I'm understanding that after you file the complaint and they take all of the information, basically it just drops off after that point, and there's no more communication where they're either asking for additional questions or, you know, giving you their findings. It's pretty much, I understand, it just drops off. And so have you found that that policy recommendation has actually been implemented, or are they, is that something that's still in the works?
No, it was implemented. It took them some time to implement it because they had to change their computer systems and make some adjustments to their general orders and SOPs, or standing operating procedures. But it was implemented. We made the recommendation in 2020. They worked on it for about a year. And it was implemented in 2021, I want to say the summer, of, early summer of 2021. And so sometimes I think what has happened, and I'm not going to say it's a 100% foolproof system, but the recommendation was implemented. And I, you know, frankly, I can't say to you in every complaint that IA sent a letter, but that is the requirement as it's noted in their standing operating procedures. Now, I know sometimes what has happened is that we've had change in leadership in the internal affairs. I think in the 2 years that I've been in internal affairs, it's had three captains. And so sometimes it's an education for the new captain that has to basically, they may have been in internal affairs at a lower rank, and now they're back in internal affairs, and they have to kind of learn the new processes and procedures that are in place. They also, as a result of ensuring that all complaints went through internal affairs, because at first that wasn't the case, they weren't all assigned internal affairs numbers, they also increased their staffing in that department, and so they then had to retrain new officers that were added to internal affairs. So there was a learning curve there for a period of time. But at the end of the day, that is the procedure that was adopted by the police department. It is still the procedure. And if we monitor an investigation and find that the procedure isn't followed, we do acknowledge that in our review and let internal affairs know that that it wasn't done per procedure.
Gotcha. Okay, my co-host wants to jump in, but I have one other question that's kind of basically a segue on that one. How long are we talking about these internal affairs complaints take to be resolved? Are we talking 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
Now, I'm not sure what happened prior to me getting to the city, but since I've been with the city and the change in the procedure, internal affairs has been turning around their reviews or investigations in 30 days or less. Now, under state law, if it's decided that an officer didn't follow policy or procedure, to discipline an officer, the command staff has to discipline that officer within 6 months or within 180 days, and that's per state law. And so at the end of the day, if by any chance the investigation is taking longer than 30 days, It must be done within those 6 months if that officer is to be disciplined.
Wow. Adrian,
Mm-hmm.
Let's just.
Oh, yeah. Good evening to you, Ms. Neal and Ms. Huckabee. Thank you, ladies, for coming on tonight. I'll begin with my first question. Ms. Neal, you spoke to your prior experience, previous experience in Cincinnati, this, that, or the other. My first question to you would be, what type of opposition did you face during that time in the position you were in for the amount of time you were in? And since you've been in the you can say newly appointed position here because it's still kind of new, you know, because considering, like you say, the pandemic happened, what opposition have you faced being in the position you are currently now here in Fort Worth? What opposition can you speak to, if any, have you faced in doing your job?
You know, so it's pretty common in a field like this that officers, and it's not all officers, but some officers believe that if you are not a sworn officer and reviewing complaints and uses of force, sometimes you are not experienced at their level because you don't have the sworn officer experience. Okay. So that's a common issue for some officers. And so the way we address that is we always make sure that our office has fulfills certain continuing education requirements as it relates to understanding and knowing about policing. Our staff takes classes over the academy and also goes to police conferences, use of force conferences, and so forth. We stay up to date on best practices by reviewing policies and procedures and being members of organizations that we network with on a regular basis. And so that's probably one of the biggest concerns that law enforcement have with officers like this one, and it's true for Fort Worth as well. The way we combat that, though, is that because our office is a newer office, we have to, you know, just like we have to build rapport with the community and ensure that the community knows that we exist and we are here as a voice for community members, we also have to build that rapport with the police department, and we have to ensure that they understand that our office is always going to be fair and objective. If a police officer is following policy and procedure, we're going to agree with the police officer's action. So we also make it known and make it clear that if a police officer does not follow policies and procedures, we're also going to let the police department know that and make recommendations in that case as well. So over time, you build up the authenticity of the department, and so that people can understand that as long as folks are doing the right thing, everything's fine. But the minute you don't do the right thing, then that's where we're going to probably differ in how, you know, a case should be handled.
I truly believe that what you're doing, it serves a purpose, and I want to encourage you to, you know, just to, you know, just to stand on, you know, stand on your principles, your beliefs, and just don't allow fear to be a factor, because I know we know that police departments have a brotherhood. You know, they have a foundation that sometimes can't be penetrated, but we know your purpose for what you're doing. I pray that you're covered and God continues you to guide you and give you the wisdom and direction you need. I know the position speaks to accountability, so we do need more accountability. It speaks to mediation, but in regards to mediation, I would say in certain instances, in certain cases, and this is no knock on what you're doing, but in certain cases, mediation is not needed, because if it's clear and obvious evidence that there has been wrongdoing on behalf of law enforcement when it pertains to public, then there's no need for mediation. There just needs to be accountability. You know, they need to be held accountable. Yeah. But again, you know, your position is what it is. Now, as far as who you report to, I would say this. I hate to have to report to the city manager, because I feel this is my personal opinion. I feel a city manager played a part in our former police chief getting fired for reasons that were, you know, we can go into, but I'm not going to go into, you know, he has a lawsuit pending with the city, but I feel like it should have been somebody other than somebody directly within the city, because I feel like that could be a conflict, not on your part, but on their part, you know, because, you know, they want to keep Fort Worth looking a certain way. So your recommendations can go get to that person, but that person doesn't have to, you know, they can, you know, they sit on it. They can sit on it. So I'm going to digress on that one. But my question I would ask Ms. because Ms. Huckabee, she serves as your deputy director. Ms. Huckabee, let me ask a question to you, since you play a part in everything that goes forth. The Fort Worth Police Officers Association. Now, this particular organization or group, or however you want to say, they have some ways that they go about trying to get things done here in the city. And those things are not, they're not ideal. They're not good. They use bullying tactics. They use intimidation. They use just things that sound like mob. You could say mafia tactics. That's what I would describe as mob tactics to push agendas or to let people know that their presence is there. Do you feel as if the Fort Worth POA, what's your relations with the Fort Worth POA? What part do they play in with you all are trying to get done for the betterment of our city as a whole? What part did the Fort Worth POA play, Ms. Huckabee?
Our relationship with the POA is the same as any other organization that is interested in partnering with us, asking questions of us. They're a union. You know, Kim meets regularly with the chief of police about our recommendations and any challenges that may be coming up, but the POA, if they have a question or concern, they can reach out to our office just like anyone else. But we're not over the POA. They're not over our office. We don't report to them directly. They're just they are another group that we will work with if they want to work with us to try to build more accountability through the process and to make sure that our community is being heard.
Okay, okay, thank you.
I want to piggyback off that question. Recently, three of our city council people, Councilman Nettles, Councilman Beck, and Councilman Williams voted no on a grant that was from Homeland Security that was funding a Bearcat vehicle. I believe Gina Bivens abstained on that vote. That said, the president of the POA, Manny Ramirez, went public in a memo or a press release, I believe it was, and he said basically how disappointed he was with the council people on their vote and basically called them out. And my question to you all would be, is that okay behavior? I'm not sure if Manny Ramirez is considered a police officer or if he's just his position is just that of the president of the POA. But in terms of recommendations from you all's department, would it not fall under your umbrella to say that it is not politically correct for the police department to basically bully, in essence, council people on their votes, because we would hope that our council people would vote their conscience. And so if we have police officers who are bullying our council people, that almost sounds like criminal behavior. So was your office aware of this, and how does that fall under the umbrella of what you all do?
So the POA is a separate organization outside of the police department. Manny Ramirez is a police officer, but
oh, wow.
a police union, and this is the case in any state that recognizes police unions or police officer associations, they are separate entities. So we have no jurisdiction over the police union or a police officer association. They are formulated under their own business structure. They're not considered a government agency. So when Manny speaks, he's speaking on behalf of the POA. He's not speaking on behalf. Generally, when you have someone speak on behalf of the police department, it's going to be one of the officials of the police department or their communications department, their public information office, if you will. They're going to speak separately. You're generally never going to see the POA speak on behalf of the police department. They're actually speaking on behalf of the POA and their membership. And their membership consists of active and retired officers. Gotcha. So that's why they're a separate entity. So we don't have any jurisdiction over what the POA does and what their membership does.
Miss Neal, so, mm-hmm. okay, so they're a separate entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You acknowledge that they're a separate entity, but however, you say former and present police officers who basically swear to an oath or whatever, and taxpayers are the ones who fund their salaries. Like, you probably can't answer because I'm just bringing up trying to paint a picture here. They pay to this organization, but this organization is separate. So basically, if anything, there has to be something that can be done and said to them, because anytime an officer is reprimanded for anything or brought up on accusations or whatever falls under the clause of what's covered under the union, they come in place as the mediator officers to try to, you know, quell or whatever it is that they do to, like any union does, to try to basically save face, find out the details and the facts to see if they can or if this job is salvageable or if this person doesn't have a chance. So with that being said, that's the problem, because I'm gonna say this, that's a problem. It's gonna be a problem for you all, because I say this: if you're saying they're a separate entity and they have demonstrated what they're willing to do with their quote unquote position of privilege or power to kind of, you know what I'm saying, cause divisiveness. With division within the city, then you all are not exempt from that. So, because if you make any recommendation, although they might, I'm sure your recommendations are behind doors, but if any recommendations are deemed to be made that goes against any narrative that they feel is right, then you all are not exempt from whatever it is that they want to levy against you all, since they're independent.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why when they make statements, they're making it on behalf of the POA. Now, if, you know, Sergeant Ramirez or any member of the POA instead was speaking on behalf of the police department, then it's a different subject matter. But because he's speaking in his capacity as the Police Officers Association president, then it's a completely separate issue. And it's tough to understand, but ethically, he's speaking on behalf of the Police Officer Association, so he cannot be held accountable under the city's rules for that reason. And as far as your statement about taxpayers funding, so the Police Officers Association is going to be funded by dues.
Okay? I was saying taxpayers pay the officers. Okay, the officers got the right to join a union. But
I was speaking
to accountability. Taxpayers pay the officers.
Yeah.
So this separate entity where you have people, you know what I'm saying? So that's all I was speaking to. Now, the POA, basically, again, let me ask you a question. The POA is a word of recommendation you all make, right? That's the question. They are aware of the recommendations you make, right? The POA.
If we don't make the recommendations to the POA.
I'm saying in general. The recommendations that you make to whoever you make them to, the POA are aware of those recommendations, because he's still dealing with law enforcement. So they are aware of any recommendations. Okay, that's all I want to ask.
So the POA is is maybe made aware of our recommendations because the command staff may make the POA aware of the recommendations, but we don't make the POA aware of our recommendations. The only way that, just like we inform the public in our through our newsletters about recommendations, you know, we give a kind of a synopsis of the recommendations that we provided. That newsletter is distributed citywide, so the POA may read that newsletter, which goes out to the community, but we don't do a separate memo, or we don't share our memo that we provided to the police department with the POA. The police department might share it with the POA, but we don't share it with the POA, no.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're talking to Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee, the director and deputy director of the Office of the Police Oversight Monitor for the City of Fort Worth. This office was created in February of 2020 to meet the outcry of the citizens of Fort Worth for accountability and transparency in our police department here. To ask a question or make a comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321 and then press 1 once connected. Ms. Huckabee, if someone basically had a complaint against the police officer, let's just say for misconduct, and they came to your office, can you explain your protocol? What can they expect once they've made that complaint?
Yes. So first of all, there are two ways that people can file complaints. One, they can go straight to the police department, and they can file it that way. They can do it online through the police department, or they can contact our office by phone. They can go on our website, which is fortworthtexas.gov/OPOM, and there is an online process there where they can go through the portal, complete all of the information, and file that complaint there. Or they can download a PDF version of the application to file either a complaint or a commendation, and they can mail that in or drop that office at our office. It is important to say the new portal that we've created, it is interactive. It asks for a lot of detailed information, like the incident where it happened, the date, as much information as you can possibly share if you know the badge number, if there are witnesses. We need as much information as we can possibly get so that we can make sure that it's investigated properly. But what happens is they complete that process. They'll get a call back from our office within a couple of days just to check and make sure that there's not any additional information that we might need. If they do use that portal, they're going to get an automated email immediately that says, that has a copy of that complaint, that they've all the information they've submitted, and it gives them our office's contact information if they have questions. And then we'll, like I said, a member of our team will contact them within 48 hours to go over the form, see if they have any other questions. And make sure that this is going to be a formal complaint versus sometimes people fill out the form and maybe it's not even a City of Fort Worth police officer. Sometimes it is just information that they're wanting, but not necessarily they may not be interested in filing a formal complaint. So we want to make sure that we are steering them in the right direction and giving them the information that they need. Once we go through that process and it is a formal complaint, then that form will need to be notarized, and we do have a notary in our office. And then it's sent, a member of our team will assign it a number, and it will be sent over to Internal Affairs so that they can investigate that. And they'll assign their own number, and our team will then monitor that investigation from start to finish. If the complainant has any questions during that process, they can reach out to us and we can let them know what we see. We're able to see any body-worn camera footage. We're able to see police reports. And any information that Internal Affairs is going through, we'll be able to see where they are in that process so that we can kind of walk the community member through that for them. And then once they're complete with the investigation, Internal Affairs will contact them and share the results of that investigation, as will we. We will monitor, like I said, that investigation from start to finish and make sure that their process was followed. And we will do our own report at the end to share if we agree with what they've stated or if we do not agree. And we'll share that as well.
Okay, you said something when you opened about if they have a complaint against an officer, they can go to the police department. When you said go to the police department, you're not meaning just any officer. You're meaning IED, right?
Yes. The Internal Affairs Division is the one that actually handles all complaints and investigations.
Okay, gotcha.
But they can also go to a police division and file a complaint, and then the complaint is passed along to Internal Affairs to have it inputted into the system.
But see, to me, that almost seems like it almost seems like if someone is like complaining against maybe abuse of an officer or something that they saw that an officer they know should not be doing, if they were just to go to the nearest precinct where that officer may be working to file that complaint and you may end up turning in the complaint to his buddy, how is that something that we want to do? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, we actually encourage, that's why we like to talk to groups like yours, because we actually encourage community members to file complaints with our office. However, what Catherine was sharing was that you can also file at your nearest division or with Internal Affairs as well. You know, we would be more than happy to take any complaint or commendation regarding the police officer in our office as well. And we can accommodate it a couple of different ways. Again, Catherine has explained fully our interactive system, which is on the computer, but we know sometimes there are challenges with the computer. And so we can mail assist in the complaint form. We can also, we've also gone as far as meeting community members in the community to file complaints. So we more than welcome community members filing complaints directly with our office if they don't feel comfortable with interacting with the police department.
Okay, Thomas Tolbenkazi has submitted a question tonight. And he's asking me to mention about the 37-page Brady list and the fact that it has 249 officers on it, and there are some pretty serious offenses. So did the Brady list, does that cross you all's office at all, or is the fact that those complaints were maybe made to IED or whatever, did they not come to your office, or how was those persons or officers that are on that Brady's list, how were they handled? Did that come through your office at all?
So the Brady list is something that's maintained at the county level by the prosecutor. The county prosecutor is not something maintained by the city. And it also relates to court action. So there's two different types of investigations. There's criminal investigations, and then there's administrative investigations. And the one thing I know sometimes it can be confusing is that what we focus on, what civilian oversight practitioners focus on around this country are administrative investigations. So those would be violations of policy and procedure. If, in fact, an investigation leads to a potential criminal investigation, that is not under our jurisdiction. That is something handled by a completely different division of the police department who then works in tow with the prosecutor's office, the county prosecutor's office, to determine if criminal allegations will be filed against an officer. And that may lead to the officer then, depending on the allegation, depending on the outcome of the case, pretty much going on to what many call it a Brady list. It's my understanding that our prosecutor's office doesn't call it a Brady list, but many cities and many states do call it a Brady list, but that is something that's maintained at the county level, and it's related to court cases.
Okay, I'm understanding, and maybe I'm misinformed, but we shall soon find out. We're being told, or I've been told, that if someone makes a complaint through your office, and let's just say they don't go to IED, but they you know, for fear or whatever, they take the complaint to your office, that your office will not put that on the officer's record. However, if they were to make the complaint through the Internal Affairs Division, that the complaint would go on the officer's record. Is that true?
That's not true. All of our complaints are provided to the police department, and all of our complaints are tracked by the police department. They're all given. So we have our own separate case tracking number, and the police department has their own case tracking number. So they've then assigned it a case tracking number. Now, if the police department, and this is the same thing for cases that are filed within the police department, if internal affairs determines through review of, let's say, body-worn camera footage, that the allegation that is made against a police officer is unfounded, then at that time they may not do a full investigation of the complaint because the body-worn camera footage may show that it never happened. And mm-hmm. so it still receives an IA number, a tracking number, but it is closed as I can't remember the wording they use now, but it's closed basically showing that the allegation couldn't be proven because the footage shows that the allegation never happened. But all of our complaints are shared with Internal Affairs, and they and then assign the Internal Affairs numbers to those cases and follow through with those cases.
Interesting. I don't know why I was told that, but it was mentioned that that was the case, that you all would not put it on the officer's record. Good to know.
We don't actually put it on the police officer's record. We can't put anything on the police officer's record. What we have to do is share, because, again, we're monitoring investigations, so we're not doing separate investigations. So we, any information that we receive, we give it to the police department, and they then assign it a number, and then they do the investigation, and then we monitor that investigation. So they are the ones who actually put it into their database. We don't have the authority to put anything into their database. We have the authority to monitor what's going on as it relates to the investigation, so we can view their database, and we can look at the actions that are happening on the review or investigation. But the and police department is the one that actually goes in and enters the data in their system.
Isn't there some talk about a citizen review panel coming up? And if so, does that jeopardize you all's office staying in place?
Well, the citizens review panel, there are many, many cities that have an office like ours, whether it's a monitor office, whether it's a office with an investigative function like I had in Cincinnati, Ohio. But they also may have a board of citizens also who are appointed to review complaints as well, or review policies and procedures of the police department and make recommendations. There's different formats. No one city is exactly the same. But in many cities, an office like ours and a board work hand in hand together. Now, we may sometimes issue different recommendations, which are all shared with the police chief, who then takes it all into account when he or she makes the decision. But we don't generally work against each other. We generally work together, even though we may come to different conclusions. We generally work together because there has to be some form, if you will, where the information is shared with that board. And so, you know, best practice around the country is that the civilian oversight agency works directly with the board to make sure that they get the information that they need.
Okay, wow. Interesting. You know, in terms of your office and what you all set out to do and where you are 2 years post the office opening, do you feel like you're on point for where you want it to be, or do you all feel you still have a lot of work to do?
I'm going to answer it first, and then I'm going to let Catherine just jump right in because she's our communications guru, of course. But I think we have a lot of work still we need to do, and I'm being perfectly honest. You know, COVID really took an impact on all of us, and we were while we tried to do everything we possibly could do virtually, and then, you know, a year and probably a year and a half, we conducted more than 250 meetings and community engagements. And my peers here in Texas, as well as my peers across the country, when I share that number, and they're often just surprised at the small staff that we had and the abilities we were able to do that. It's still not the same as meeting in person and talking with people in person and hearing individual stories. And so that is something that it was unfortunate, and that is something that we, as we build our staff and we build the manpower that we have in our office and still continue to monitor complaints and uses of force, which is a lot of work for us, as well as look at policies and procedures. You know, I'm committed to getting out into community more to meet the same community groups that we talk to virtually. We're starting to do that already, but we need to do more of it. And we need to hear more of people's stories face-to-face and not over the telephone or over a camera. And so that's why I say we have a lot more work to do. And Catherine can kind of lay out what that plan is for 2022 and 2023 as we move forward.
Yeah, I would agree with Kim. I was a part of the original group that was helping with a lot of the community engagement and communications when the Race and Culture Task Force was created, and we went throughout the city and did over 30 community conversations in as many neighborhood groups as we possibly could. And we spent several hours during each one of those meetings listening to members of the community and trying to really gauge everyone's perspectives and allowing everyone to share their experiences and their concerns about race relations. And I have to tell you that criminal justice was at the forefront at that time, and still is with the majority of our marginalized community members. And as much as we've been out there, I know that there's a lot more that we need to be doing. And so one of the things that we've done, you know, and I have to reiterate what Kim's already said, you know, the team was only two people. And it's only just now within the past couple of months where we're finally at about six. And now that we are hoping that COVID's on the downside, we are looking forward to going in person. And so in addition to doing things like this, we're also planning in-person community conversations where we'll be able to go back into the community and have the in-depth discussions about some of the challenges that people are experiencing, and allow everyone's voices to be heard. And then in addition, some of the things that we'll be working on are community police conversations. And we did those virtually last year, and the feedback that we received from both sides, our officers and from our community members, was very positive. They were very honest conversations, and sometimes they were not to hear, but they were really good eye-opening lessons, I think, for people to take back. And so we'll be going to all the different police divisions and encouraging the community members that live there, being served by those officers, to be a part of those conversations in small breakout groups. Then we're also going to be hosting a faith-based leaders community conversation, so we can bring our faith-based leaders together and allow them the opportunity to share. And we want to brainstorm with our community members. We want to hear from them what they think might be able to help improve accountability, but also open those lines of communication. Probably one of the best things that we would encourage people to do is to participate in our next community survey, which is going to be this summer. Kim did the first one about a year and a half ago, and so we're going to put it back out again. We did a survey to our community members and then a survey to our police officers. We had amazing responses. We want to take those same questions out again and kind of gauge what change, if any, has been made a good year and a half later. So those are the things that are really coming up over the next 6 to 9 months, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to get the word out and to encourage people to be a part of these conversations.
Well, Catherine, in the pre-interview that I had with you, you stated that in 2 to 3 weeks, your office would be announcing to the public what policies you all recommended to the city / police department. So is that something that's coming forth in the coming weeks?
So we have a report that's going to be shared with the community. And then we're also working on a dashboard that we are hoping to get put out on our website that will be as close to real time as possible, that will share those recommendations. And that way the public will get an ongoing view of what we're recommending and where it's at in that process. And Kim can go into a little bit more detail about some of that, but that's all coming within the next 3 to 4 weeks, yes.
Gotcha. Well, I have a different question for Kim. Kim, let me ask you, because we're running out of time, unless y'all are going to give me more than an hour, we're running out of time. Kim, I understand that your office does not have subpoena power. It cannot make an officer speak with you. It cannot demand any form of punishment, and is basically a tool to track police complaints. Would that define your office pretty much?
The powers that you mentioned, we do not have. When the council created the ordinance, they did give us investigative functions, but it did not define when and when we can employ those investigative functions. So that's yet to be developed. And we may have to, at some point in time in the future, go back to council and kind of define the ordinance a little bit more. I wasn't on board when the ordinance was created. However, primarily the concern at the time was complaints, and so we were created with a primary function of monitoring investigations of those complaints, not just taking the complaints, but monitoring the investigations of the complaints to make sure that they were fair and diligent. And what comes out of those complaints are many times a review of policy and procedure, where we have made a number of recommendations to ensure that the policies and procedures of the police department are fair and equitable for all communities in Fort Worth. Many of our recommendations have been adopted and implemented, and this is one of the things that I think if the city determines that the council and the mayor determine that the board is the way to go, this is one of the things that I think the board can help be most helpful in, particularly a board of community members from across the city, and also weighing in on policies and procedures, but not just stopping there. But also weighing in on looking at the training on those policies and procedures, because we can have the best policies and procedures in the country, but if officers aren't trained to be fair and equitable when implementing those policies and procedures properly, then the policies and procedures just won't work. So we have to follow it all the way through to the end, not just making recommendations to policies and procedures, but making sure they're being implemented properly and being trained on properly. And I think that's a huge benefit of if we go the board route of having a board to do that. So it's not just the complaints, but also monitoring the investigations, which can get quite intensive, as well as identifying any issues in those investigations, as well as identifying any policy, whether they be deficiencies or whether it be updating a policy to ensure that best practices are met. That's huge. Also separate from investigations, the city, the police department reports on its uses of force annually. And so our office monitors what the police department calls a use of force review board. So every use of force that an officer has is supposed to be reported in the police department systems. And so that board reviews every use, reported use of force. And so our office monitors to ensure that the uses of force that are reviewed are being reviewed equitably and fairly. And often we serve as a voice of the community member to ensure that their side is being heard. And so if we, you know, many times we, the board has reached decisions that are fair and equitable for the most part, but there have been times where we didn't agree and we recommended other actions. And so that's a huge part of what we do. Uses of force have in previous years been as much as 800 per year. And so you can imagine reviewing every one is quite intensive because we're reviewing the entire file. We're reviewing footage as it relates to the use of force. So that's a huge part of what we do. And then we got the community engagement piece, which is another huge part of community oversight, where we want to make sure that we're hearing the voices of the community. We want to make sure that we're sharing with the community what we do. We've utilized two working groups of community members over the last 2 years on ensuring that our community engagements are inclusive and take into account various aspects of the community, but also we utilize another working group that we put together to look at this whole recommendation on a board, a community oversight board. And so we continue to try to engage community as much as we can in what we do because we know that the community is really the forefront of everything that we do in our office. And so all of those things are things that we do. We're going to implement this year audits of body-worn camera footage because we want to see if there are any trends in policing across the city that are potentially could be disparate treatment of community members in our more marginalized communities. And we want to see if there are any trends that can be identified so that we can infect policing to a point and make recommendations as it relates to ensuring that policing is fair and equitable. So all of those are key components of our office.
Gotcha. For whatever reason, our phone lines are starting to light up with questions, and we're going to come to you all in just a minute if she's willing to take those questions. But I heard you say one thing that kind of bothered me. You said you don't have investigative functions. So if you all do not have the ability to investigate a complaint, then you are totally relying, it seems then, on IAD to come back with a thorough investigation. So if they somehow drop the ball with what they're supposed to investigate, then that means that whatever you're getting is not going to be the full story. Would that be accurate?
Well, the thing with having access to the police department systems is that we can review that investigation, right? So if by chance maybe all the T's aren't crossed and all the I's aren't dotted, then we can reach out to Internal Affairs to ask those questions before the command staff reaches this decision on the officer. And so the ball may not be dropped because we're monitoring it along the way to ensure all those T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, there is some callers. Do you all have time to take a couple of calls? Y'all, they only promised me an hour, so we're going to pray that they're very nice tonight and give us a few more minutes.
Absolutely. You can go ahead, Ms. Honey.
Great. Okay, we're going to go to, first of all, 314-381. You've been holding for a while. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk at Work.
How you doing, Carrie, and your guest? I got a real good question here. And you know, Carrie, I've asked this before. Okay. We have all these kind of concerns about the behavior of the police, but what about the citizens? And you have so much lack of authority that's on your street and in your public. Shouldn't it not be taught in schools? It should start in the home, because there's a lack of authority at home. It goes to the school, and then it plays out in the streets with police encounters. So where is the teaching and the emphasis on citizens to stop having court in the street and comply? I mean, just simple comply.
Pianki says the thinking that if people just comply, everything will be fine. No matter if
well, it would help. It would. It surely would help.
So one, can I just add? Can I just say something to that, Ms. Hines?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we want to, and this is something that I did in Ohio that was successful, and one of the things that we're drafting right now, we've almost finished drafting it, to implement here in Fort Worth, is we want to do kind of a Know Your Rights. That's not the formal title of it, but a Know Your Rights community engagement, where we involve community members, and we would also have a piece of it that focuses on young people as well. And we want to talk about knowing your rights and when it comes to encountering police or stopped by police. But we also want to add a piece of that where we play out police encounters. We play out scenarios. And we have community members. And again, we'll have a component for young people. So it could be community members that are under the age of 18 as well. And we have them play out the scenario with the officer. So, for example, if it's a vehicle stop that we play out, we write the skit up and we have them play it out together. It would be based on a real case, but we, of course, would change up the facts and make it a little fun. And then at the end of the encounter, we then would have an engagement and conversation around the encounter, and then we would talk about, and then we would also show the encounter how it was done the wrong way and how it could be done the right way. And we would talk about those specific issues from both the community member standpoint and the police officer standpoint. And the key is for both parties, both sides, to listen to one another and to hear what they each are saying to one another, to hopefully reach some mutual understanding.
Well, and that sounds great. That sounds great. From both sides, show the citizen what they should do. You know, when a police officer has to do a search of a vehicle under suspicion, they have a right to detain you in cuffs. They can't be looking in your car while you stand there without any handcuffs on. You might pose to be some danger to them. So it's things like that needs to be addressed with citizens. And I'm sure it's enough with the police. But nothing disturbs me more than when a police officer pulls somebody over and the first thing, what are you stopping me for? You ain't got, you know, that there, it just elevates things. And nothing is going to be decided until you go to court anyway.
Yes. And so you know, my passion is that I want to keep people out of court, right? I want to keep people from being locked up if possible. And I'm not talking about, you know, serious crimes, you know, or dangerous crimes or crimes where people are assaulted and things like that. I'm talking about, most of our complaints involve low-level allegations like, you know, unprofessionalism, discourtesy, or when the person's charged with disorderly conduct. And so those are the ones that we're trying to – those are the ones that are most complained on, and those are the ones that we're trying to address to try to have the complaints go down on those and try to reach some mutual understanding in the communities. And so when Catherine talked about the survey, one of the things that are going to come out of that survey is some topics where people are mentioning in their survey responses, and we want to put community members that are in the same division with the police officers that serve those divisions to talk about some of those same issues that both the community member and the police officer have mentioned in those surveys to do some problem solving together to hopefully build relationships. One of the things I've heard overwhelmingly from particularly some of my more marginalized communities is that they don't know who their police officers are. They know who their neighborhood patrol officers are, their NPOs are, but they don't know who their police officers are. And so we want to kind of increase the understanding there. We also want to increase the knowledge of who those patrol officers are, the work that beat each and every day, so community members know who to connect to. And so we were able to do it successfully, as successful as we possibly could virtually, but we want to do it in person and create roundtables around issues where people can problem solve together and form relationships. And so I think a lot of that will help some of the misunderstandings. It won't, you know, none of this stuff is the complete answer. It's going to be a holistic approach of all of us, community, police, government, social services, mental health, home, all of these partners. But, you know, if we all work together to enhance these relationships, we can make some phenomenal changes in the city.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to 817-446. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Hey, Carrie, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Is that me? Okay. Kim, thank you for coming on the show. This is one of the greatest things y'all can do is coming on these shows like this and talking to the people. That's number one. That means we're getting started somewhere. The main thing I want to do is I like the idea. You said transparency before. I like transparency and all that. So what I'd like to do, if you will, in June, I'd like to offer to book three different schools in District 5. I'll pay for it and have meetings. I'll pay for the advertisement. I'll put it in the paper and everything. And what I want to do is the way the city does things when they hold meetings, oh, they put it out to the neighborhood associations, but that's no good. Associations are part of the establishment. They are owned by the city, and that's no good. But they use it to make it look like all the people are saying this and that. The general public's not involved at all. So anyway, if you'd like to do that, I'd like to contact you, and I'll pay for the schools, the advertisement. And let's invite Manny Ramirez to come on. That'd be great. And let's invite the police chief to come on, because I've been out at City Hall several times. He will not return calls or answer questions. You know, so I would appreciate it. And I guess POA do funds too, I think, because I'm asking to stop the police from paying POA dues because they put all that money back into candidates, and we need to get them out. But I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your show, Carrie. And wonderful. Having a good night. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I recognize Mr. Willoughby's voice, and we welcome any partnership with schools. We definitely want to get into the school system, so we welcome any partnership that we can make with the schools.
Well, I'll rent the school. We'll hold meetings. Your PO, not with the children there. I mean, after hours, 7 o'clock at night, and we'll use the buildings instead of the, because they're more centrally located to the neighbors. And I got three schools, and I used to do this, and I rented schools and papered the neighborhood, but the city, they didn't like me doing this because I was giving out information, so they finally pulled the rug out from under me. So I had to become an organization before I can do it again. You have the power to do that, and I'll pay for it so taxpayers won't have to pay anything there. I'll take care of that if y'all do it, okay? Thank you very much.
I'm sure. Well, thank you. I'm sure Catherine Huckabee is making a note as you speak.
I
am. Yeah, we're going to pick up another call, 817-609. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
My name is James Smith. And I have I kind of got taken aback from your caller before last when he mentioned that if a citizen would comply with an officer. My neighbor, Tatiana Jefferson, didn't get a chance to comply because she was shot before the officer's request was even finished coming out of his mouth. So how do you deal with a situation like that?
I think he's posing the question to you all, Kim, Ms. Huckabee.
Yeah. So, again, my heart goes out to Ms. Jefferson's family. Of course, I was not in Fort Worth at the time that it happened, but of course, that was a nationwide event. You know, that was the event that was heard nationwide, so I definitely knew about it. And so it's something, unfortunately, that we can't address because it's already happened, but we can definitely look at how it happened and what has happened. And from my understanding, in the years subsequent to it happening, the police department has looked at their policies and procedures as it relates to that, and they've made changes. And that's what we continue to do. We just continue to make sure that hopefully that we never have a situation like that again. But again, that police officers follow policies and procedures to ensure that when encounters like that happen, we are correct in how we implement our policies and procedures at the police department.
Okay. Is there a time limit to file a complaint?
There is not a time limit to file a complaint, but I mentioned earlier, I'm not sure if you were on the line, that to discipline an officer under state law, the complaint has to be fully investigated and the decision has to be rendered by the chief within 6 months. So after 6 months, an officer cannot be disciplined for an allegation. And that's per state law. That's not per law of the city of Fort Worth. That is state law.
Well, it's been the past 6 months. So the answer to my question is there is a time limit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm kind of muddled because although it's been 2 years and 5 months, I'm still traumatized by this event. And when I heard that comment about the citizen, if the citizen just complied, that irritated me a little bit. So I really can't give you the kind of question I would like to, because I'm kind of upset at that comment.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's not as simple as a citizen complying. And that's one of the reasons why, and again, this doesn't impact the situation, the incident that happened, the awful incident that happened to Ms. Jefferson. But moving forward, we're trying to create those conversations so that police can hear what community members experience when they encounter police, when they're stopped by police, and also community members can hear what's in the minds of police. And so we're trying to raise some compassion from both sides. We're trying to raise some mutual understanding from both sides. And I know that one of the things that Ms. Huckabee, Catherine, I don't know if you want to speak to this, but Ms. Huckabee wanted to do was reach out to you, sir, to see if you wanted to talk with our office further, just going forward on some of the things that you think that we can help out with doing better as it relates to our office and the jurisdiction of our office. We would be more than happy to sit down with you and talk with you. About anything you think that our office can do to assist the city of Fort Worth with moving forward.
The city of Fort Worth needs a lot of assistance. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. James. Is it ever, you all's recommendation that termination is the answer? Is it always that something other than termination is what you all recommend? Is it ever a case in which you all see that this is not fixable and that the officer should be terminated?
Well, the chief is the only person that can recommend, that can do disciplinary action. He's the only person that can discipline an officer. Our office does not have authorization to discipline an officer. So the department has in its general orders a disciplinary matrix that it follows, and it's based on first offense, second offense, third offense. It's based on what type of offense it is. So it's prescribed, and the department follows that disciplinary matrix. Or it's supposed to follow that disciplinary matrix as it relates to issuing discipline. But the chief is the only person that can discipline an officer at this time.
Well, that opens up a whole other can of worms. How many offenses can an officer have? You mentioned first, second, and third. Are we talking about even more offenses are allowed and then they still be employed by the city, or is it three strikes, you're out? I mean, what are we looking at?
So the disciplinary matrix, I don't have it in front of me. It's part of their general orders, but it depends on the allegation. Mm-hmm. And the number of times of the allegations. So it's not concrete. It's just, it doesn't read like every allegation, first, second, third, then you're out. It depends mm-hmm. on the intensity of the allegation. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, originally we talked about administrative investigations and criminal investigations. So if there are mm-hmm. criminal implications, that raises it to a whole different level than mm-hmm. a violation of a policy and procedure, which is an administrative investigation. So there are different levels of that would take into account what ultimately would be the chief's decision. And I really can't speak on behalf of the chief, but that's just kind of a summary of the disciplinary matrix and how it is. But it's not as simple as just saying an allegation. It depends on the type of allegation.
Gotcha. What were you saying?
No, I just had a quick observation, like Ms. Neal just speaking to the disciplinary aspect of things. The Brady list is on a different playing field, but when you look at the Brady list, you got certain officers who are repeat offenders, you know, mm-hmm. and I guess that goes back in line with the question Carrie just answered in regards to how many strikes do they get, because when you go to that particular list, you see certain officers that have repeat offenses, and some of these offenses are, yeah. If it was me, an everyday citizen, yeah, I'd be looking at trying to lawyer up or trying to get a plea deal or something just to get my freedom. If they're not trying to give me time for it. But I feel like this, Ms. Neal. Now you spoke to what you all are limited in what you do. Correct me if I'm wrong. You stated that you all have no recommendation powers, right? Basically. Is the Race and Culture Task Force, is it still in place?
No, sir. It's not in place. They were implemented in 2017, and they issued their final recommendation. I mean, their recommendations in December of 2018.
Do you how would you label yourself? Do you all have a Have they given you all a time frame for how long you all would be in operation for? Is it a time frame that you all have been given that you all are being placed for, or is this something that's going to, you all are going to be here to stay? What have the city given you all a time frame for you all?
No, it's my understanding that the agency is here to stay. If it wasn't, I probably wouldn't be.
Okay.
But it's my understanding that it's here to stay. Most cities don't get rid of their civilian oversight agency.
I'm gonna just say this, Ms. Neal, based on something mm-hmm. you stated in regards to what you're able to do, your oversight, what you all are able to do, and the limitations you have. I feel like that's why I stated earlier in regards to who you have to answer to. You know,
mm-hmm.
again, you have to answer the city manager. Which I think is mm-hmm. completely bogus, because you ask to the city manager, but it seems to me, if I'm not mistaken, you said the city council is the one who came up with the guidelines in which you all had to go by, right?
Well, it's the city council. Well, you know, the city manager can't enact laws for the city, so you have to, whenever you want to enact the for the city, you have to go to the city council and the mayor to enact any law. Whether it's to create any agency in the city, you would have to go to the city council to enact the actual law that creates that agency.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. I didn't make myself clear. Okay. Mm-hmm. You all, what you all do is basically was already determined by the city council. What you can and cannot do was determined by the city council. They gave you all a basic manual in which you all had to go by. The city council is over there, right? If I'm not mistaken. So they.
Well, what happens is the administration makes the proposal. So the administration, uh-huh. meaning that's the city manager and staff, make the proposal to city council. The city attorney's office then drafts the ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and the city administration takes it before the council. And then the council, you know, has their meeting, their session. They debate it. They determine it. They may make changes to it. And then ultimately they pass the law.
No disrespect to you. It's the typical dog and pony show with the city council, and it's nothing in regards to what you're doing. Like I said, I respect what you're doing and what you all are trying to do. But no, not trying. I respect what you all are doing, because if you were trying, you wouldn't be in position. So I thank you all for what you all are doing. I'm just saying, it's a typical dog and pony show. The city council is going to be a hindrance to a lot of things that I feel. The progress that's needed in this city that's needed to be made between communities and police. And I think the city council is going to be that hindrance. But I digress. Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Neal.
Let me just say one thing, though, is that, and I think it's important to say that the city manager, the city council, the mayor, nobody has ever interfered with what we do or told us that we have to change an opinion or a decision or a recommendation to the police department. Nobody at any time since the office has been created has interfered with the duties of our office. And so I think it's important to note that, because I don't want the community members to think that someone is saying, we make a recommendation. They say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Nobody at any time has ever said that to any member of the Office of Police Oversight Monitor.
For the record, that was just my. It wasn't nothing. I wasn't speaking for the community, or that was just my personal heart speaking. That's all. It wasn't nothing in regards to the. So to the community, I'm not. Hey, I'm just speaking for me, not the show or anyone else. Thank you, Ms. Neal.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, let me ask one final question. Y'all, we got them almost 30 minutes past of what they promised me. Listen, thank y'all so much. You mentioned that you report to the city manager, and we know that the city manager's job basically is to manage the city and in all ways try to put the city in a position in which it won't be sued. So isn't it almost a conflict of interest that the city manager be overseeing your department, because I wouldn't think that they're ever going to want you to say anything contrary to being in line with what I just said, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm not sure if it's the city manager's role to ensure that the city's not sued. That may be more of the city attorney's role.
Mm.
And the city attorney is appointed by council and the mayor. So you are right that the city manager is responsible for the administration of government. But as far as lawsuits and handling of lawsuits and prevention of lawsuits, I think that really comes under the confines of the city attorney's office.
Okay. Last question. I promise y'all, this is the final question. Thomas Torlin-Cosby did make a valid point at this last city council meeting when he said that some of the offenses that we saw on the Brady list for the police officers who had committed those offenses, in most jobs, especially government jobs, city jobs, in typically, to be honest with you, in most jobs, whether city or state or federal, these offenses would not be acceptable. Having sex, in your company car, lying, official oppression, those types of things. And so those are theft, and the list went on and on. But that said, in some of these cases, these people went on to be promoted. So I'm just trying to understand, what are we really trying to accomplish when we see a bad officer? Are you all trying to rehabilitate them like someone who is, in a prison? Because it almost seems like some of these offenses should not have been forgivable. They should have been offenses that would immediately lend one to being exited out of the front door by security. And so we really want to understand, what is you all's gauge in terms of when you all see certain offenses such as theft, you know, where it's been proven, such as, you know, lying on police reports, such as sex in a, you know, a police car, you know, things like that. Is it something that we're missing, that these offenses were not immediately grounds for termination? I know you mentioned the major,
well,
the disciplinary major.
Yeah.
But
it's my understanding that the city doesn't maintain. It's my understanding that the city doesn't maintain a Brady list. So I'm
okay,
not.
Well,
I'm not sure what
okay.
you're referring to.
Let's remove the word Brady's list. Let's just say the officer has been accused of that offense, and it's found that that officer did commit that offense. So we'll just remove the term Brady's list from it. So what kind of games are we looking at in terms of a disciplinary matrix that would allow people like that to still be employed?
Yeah. Again, I think that's a good question for the chief, since he's the one that renders the disciplinary action. I can't answer that for him, you know, other than to say that there is a disciplinary matrix, and depending on the allegation that the officer that was sustained on against the officer and where the officer falls in the disciplinary matrix, it pretty much dictates what the possible ramifications can be if the officer is sustained on that allegation. But as it relates to the specific question, I think that's more of a question for the chief and not for the Officer of Police Oversight Monitoring.
Okay. It just
doesn't come under our jurisdiction.
We're an hour, I'm an hour and a half into the show, and I'm still confused as to, and I apologize, and maybe it's me, but I'm still confused as to what you all do. And how your office, and this is no disrespect to what you all do. I'm just being very transparent here. I don't get it, because I don't get that an officer can be a bad officer, and yet you all don't have any subpoena power to, you know, make him come talk to you. You don't have any recommendation power to recommend that he be terminated. And so I'm still trying to understand, are we better off where we are, or do you all need more authority to do what you do in order for it to be better for the citizens of Fort Worth? Because it doesn't sound like y'all have enough power to really help the citizens.
So, you know, I think it's different from different perspectives. I think, you know, clearly there are some, you know, to be frank, there are some community members that don't think we need civilian oversight at all. There are some community member, and whether it be a board, whether it be our office, it just depends on what area of the city that you're in. There are some community members that think we need civilian oversight, and they like the format that we have now. There are some community members that think that the civilian oversight needs more teeth. And so we're here to do, you know, the job that we are permitted to do per ordinance. Now, whether that ordinance needs to be amended to either take away or add additional responsibilities probably is up for debate. And so what we can do right now is try to make be as impactful as we can to ensuring that policing is fair and diligent and equitable in the city of Fort Worth. With the tools that we have right now. And then as we move forward, if more is needed, and if community members, we hear overwhelmingly from community members that more is needed, then we can definitely report that out. And that's one of the reasons why, as Catherine mentioned, we're going to do a survey again to see where we are. To see if community members feel like there's been some improvement, to see if community members feel like there hasn't been a change, to see if community members feel like more is needed. And again, as we did in 2020, we produced a report that was about almost 50 pages long that showed the results. We did an executive summary, but we also did a full report on what those results were. It's on our website. And we'll do the same thing with these survey results, and we report that out to the community. We report that out to council. And then if if changes need to be made, most likely if community members support the survey and answer the questions on the survey, which we highly encourage because every voice counts, then we can move forward with any improvements that community members think that need to be made to the ordinance and to the office. All I can say, Ms. Hines, is that we can, right now, we are going to do the best possible job we can with serving as a voice for the community members based on the authority that we've been given.
But they have your hands tied. I mean, we get that. So we're trying to figure out, like, well, not we, but me, can you not add some civilian oversight to your board so that there are some community members that are basically they don't have a dog in the fight, and so we can feel like the process is at least somewhat balanced where the person doesn't work for the city, the person doesn't work for the police department, but that person mm-hmm. is looking out for the best interests of the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's why we went to council last year with a board proposal, and we await, you know, when the next time it will be put on the council's agenda to discuss further. I know that there are some council members that feel strongly about the creation of a board, and there are definitely community members who feel very strongly about the creation of a board. And we will do whatever we need to do and whatever authority that's given to us to move that forward. We are not against the board. But if the, you know, by chance the board isn't granted by the council, then we will continue to do what we need to do. So, basically what I'm saying is that with or without the board, we're going to do what we need to do. But we definitely, if a board is enacted, we will definitely work hand in hand with that board to ensure policing is equitable and fair. So we're not against the board at all.
So if we wanted to say to the council or say to whoever we need to say it to that if this is going to work and, you know, the people of Fort Worth feel like this is a department that's really a department that we can count on to get fairness out of the city when it comes to a complaint against a police officer. Do we need to complain to the city manager? Do we need to complain to our council people that you all need more authority or you all need some citizens on the board? Who do we take our complaint to about that?
Well, if you're a city of Fort Worth resident, you know, you can definitely take it to your council member who represents your area. You could definitely take it to the mayor, who's at large and represents the entire city of Fort Worth, and you can also take it to the city manager. We've had groups in the past make recommendations to all of them as to the creation of this office, as well as how we move forward with civilian oversight in Fort Worth. And so I think those recommendations are well received and continue to be received by all those parties. And so I encourage you to do all three or one or, you know, whatever you can do if you feel strongly about what the next step needs to be in for civilian oversight in Fort Worth.
It sounds like you all have done the groundwork for 2 years, and it sounds like still that your hands are tied in terms of really being able to give us the assistance that we need. And so it sounds like that the ordinance needs to be amended to give you all additional power, like subpoena power and recommendations for, you know, termination or whatever. And so it doesn't seem like it's fair that they put the office in place, but technically tied the hands of the office in terms of really doing what needed to be done, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So some of the challenges that we have is because the state of Texas also has some challenges in state code as it relates to investigations of police officers as well. And some of those state code statutes are very unique to Texas. A lot of states don't have some of the limitations that Texas has. And so I know that there are some that are working at the state level and continue to work with our state officials to try to make some changes in what those laws are. So some of it is not just the city, it's some of the challenges that are presented pursuant to state law as well.
Okay. Adrian submitted the final question, y'all, and I promise this is the final question. He said, to ask you if you had more power in Cincinnati than you have here. So is it a big difference?
You know, like I said, in Cincinnati, we actually did separate investigations. So we actually did the investigations ourselves. So I had a staff of investigators. We also had subpoena power in Cincinnati, but I can tell you in the 25 years of existence of that agency, subpoena power has never been implemented. And that was because we always maintained a collaborative relationship with the police department, and we had various police chiefs and various city managers. But they all supported civilian oversight and ensured that the relationship remained collaborative. And so the subpoena power had never been implemented. In some states, some cities, some of my peers that are in the same position like ours, they implement their subpoena power all the time, but their format is a little different. You know, their authority is a little different. They don't have access to police systems like we do. We have access to police systems. So it really is different for every agency, every civilian oversight agency. It's probably close to 200 in the country. I can tell you that everyone, there's a different twist on each and every one of them. You just can't compare. It's not like comparing apples to apples at the end of the day. In Cincinnati, I did not have unfettered access to police systems like I do here. But I had subpoena power, but we never used subpoena power because we always had cooperation, even though I didn't have the unfettered access. So it's a twist, you know.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this police department was on the radar of President Barack Obama, and he actually sent in a task to look into some of the complaints that were made in Fort Worth. And I know that to be the case because I actually complained myself and got a letter from his office. And so whatever happened with that task force, and did they ever come up with anything, to your knowledge?
So are you talking about the national initiative, or are you talking about, does that sound familiar? There was back maybe in 2014, 2015?
I think it was. Okay. I think it was.
Yeah. There was an entire report issued, but it's my understanding that the city volunteered to be a part of that study. Of course, I wasn't around at the time, but that was my understanding. But there was an actual report that was produced as a result of that, that should be available on that website of that organization. But it's the, can't remember the formal name, but it's the National Initiative on Community and Justice or something like that. But there was a full report that was issued.
Gotcha. Well, listen,
if you reach out to our office, we could probably, I'm sure we have a copy of it. We could probably send it to you.
I appreciate that. Listen, I thank these ladies so much because they've given us like 45 minutes longer than they promised us today. Kim and Catherine, can you tell them how to reach out to your office if someone has a complaint that they'd like to take to your office?
You can visit our website at forwardtexas.gov/OPOM. You can also email us at policeoversight@fortworthtexas.gov, and Fort Worth, Texas is all spelled out. Or you can contact our office at 817-392-6535. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And so we try to make sure that we're covering all the bases. Anytime we're doing any engagements with the community, we'll post it on our social media, the city's social media, on our webpage. It'll go out to the media and through city news, to all of our neighborhood associations in the area, and faith-based groups as well. If anyone wants to be added to our distribution list, all they have to do is contact us by email or phone, let us know, and we will be happy to add you to that list.
And let me say something. I think it's your standard procedure. You can't just stop downtown and just see you all. It has to be by appointment, right? Did I lose my guest? Is that correct?
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I was on mute. No, you can just stop in and see us. We have many community members that stop in and see us. You go up to the third floor where the reception desk is, and they will call us because we used to be located on the third floor. They moved us to a different area because we needed more space. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have a reception area. So if you go up to the third floor to the reception area for the city manager, mayor, and council, and just tell them that you're here for us, then somebody from our office will come up to meet you. Of course, we always appreciate appointments only because we can allot time just in case we're in the middle of something or we're out of the office for whatever reason. But if you want to stop by, we have no issue with that. Many community members just stop by, and we definitely try to accommodate them as best we can.
And we're always in the office between 8 and 5 whenever the City Hall building is open, so anytime.
Wow. That's good to know. Well, ladies, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. Listen, y'all got an open door policy. Come by anytime and give us updates on what you all are doing. We definitely want to know. So, again, anytime, stop by and just say hi and tell us what's going on with your office.
Yes, absolutely. And like I always tell people, we take complaints, but we take commendations, too, of police officers. We don't always want to hear. We know that most of the time, folks have concerns. They want to express them. But if there's a kudo, you want to give a shout-out to a police officer, we take those as well. So.
Wow. I did not know that. And that's good to know. So you all do hear good things about some officers sometimes.
We absolutely do.
Wow, that's good to know. Well, thank you, ladies, again, for stopping by. We really appreciate your time, and thank you for even staying over a little bit with us.
Thank you,
Ms. Hines.
I appreciate it. We have another community engagement in the morning, so that's why we're trying to get out of here. But we appreciate you
and
the time that you've given us.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
Have a good evening.
Y'all, that was Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee, the director and the deputy director of the Office of Police Oversight Monitor here in the city of Fort Worth. Listen, I learned so much. That's why you can't go by what you hear. Because listen, half of what I've been told about that office was not what goes on in that office. Adrian, a lot of surprises tonight.
Well, like you stated, it's my first time, getting the in-depthness of the office other than, when Bob allowed them onto his platform. So this is, able to learn a lot more from, regarding what they do. And I also learned a lot more about, what's really going on behind the scenes, and I always try to differentiate, when I'm making opinions or whatever. Yeah, I'm not speaking. I don't see myself as being somebody that speaks for the community as a whole. I do speak from my heart. I do speak about passionately about things, but I want the community to know that I don't jump out on the ledge. I don't want to put the community in the crosshairs or anyone in the crosshairs of any entities or organizations out here that might try to cause harm to them. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
Yeah, we learned a lot. We learned a lot, and I just. I think we as a community, we're going to have to be their loudest champions, because they're already in place. But like you said, what they're governed by is going to hinder. I believe what they have been governed by is going to hinder any kind of due process for anything that we seek to bring about in this city, because of how they the city, like you say, they in bed with the, well, I'll leave that alone, but yeah, thank you for that. I'm glad they stayed on as long as they did.
I think what I heard her say, which is something we all maybe should look into, is that she mentioned, I think it was Tim Neal mentioned, there's an ordinance. So we need to know what the ordinance says,
because the
investigative functions are limited by that ordinance. So maybe the ordinance needs to be amended. If we're going to have a office like this in place, it seems only fair that if the city is really trying to do the right thing, that these investigative functions will be amended to allow them to have subpoena power, for them to be able to make the officer come and talk to them, that they be able to recommend whether or not the officer needs to be terminated or whatever. And so it just seems like to me they are just putting them in place to do a job, but then handcuffing their hands as to really being able to do the job well. That's just what I took away from tonight. Yeah, which is interesting.
I took the same sentiment away, because it's like I say, with the city manager, the same person who was in place when Bessie Price was in place and Chief Joel Fitzgerald was in place, and he brought about his complaints or whatever, but they try to use something that happened outside of the city as a means to you know, terminate him. But then you see how the judicial system works. It said no, this is considered a wrongful termination. Y'all had no cause or nothing to terminate this man. See, that goes to show you, like you say, it's just, and then what's the name stepping down? He wasn't in position long. He stepped down, you know, and I don't know what was in his heart to cause him to step down, but he stepped down, you know. Maybe it was something he was kind of probably got to his heart, but he just said, you know what, I'd rather not just go through with trying to be the chief. So now we got who we got, but I just think the city needs to be separate from. Now, if they say, well, we got to be a part of it because we're the ones funding this, that, or the other, well, you're not funding it. Fool, the taxpayers are funding it. So y'all could be a separate entity. Please stop there. Y'all just write checks. Y'all, the taxpayers funding all this. Let's stop with the nonsense. But, yeah, I think we need to see what that ordinance is. And like she stated, she said, hey, we have she has subpoena power in Cincinnati, but it wasn't necessary because there was a cooperation with the department. They worked hand in hand. It's like, you know.
We got to look up that ordinance, y'all. We are going to do that and see exactly, because they're talking about bringing in another, what did she call it? Was it a panel or something?
Mm-hmm.
That I heard Chris Nettles mention it, and I think we're talking about in the next couple of weeks. That panel is supposed to be in place. I don't think she called it a panel. I don't know what the term was that she used, but I wrote it down. But for some reason, okay, the creation of a board, and so that's supposed to be coming down the pipe within the next week or so. I think I saw something on Chris Nettles' Facebook page about that. So we definitely want to look at what this creation of this board, what kind of powers will they have versus what kind of powers the monitor's office has, and are those descriptions are overlapping?
Bob made a good point, and I'm gonna start looking at neighborhood associations different, because Bob made a good point regarding how certain neighborhood associations, how they operate. And I saw his piece in the Forward Weekly. You know, you shared it, but it's actually in the Forward Weekly, and he called out several neighborhood associations. So I think if they're going to do that, like you say, these people, individuals, got to be people who are independent of. I think they need to be independent of anything, any platforms, any organizations. I think these people just need to be people. Hey, you think you fit the qualifications? boom. Then when they, one of the questionnaires should be, are you a part of any neighborhood association? Because that should be, I feel like, if like he, Bob states that, he feel like neighborhood associations, again, are kind of in bed with the city. You know what I'm saying? So we need people independent of the city functioning. You know, we need people independent because anybody can, you can always have a mole. It only takes one mole to turn, you know what I'm saying? You know how the moles are. Get everybody in place. And it's always at once. All you need is a mole. Eyes and ears and the mouth of whoever they moling for. So I think, yeah.
This is true. Y'all, we got to get ready to get out of here. Again, we want to thank Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee with the Office of Police Oversight Monitor for stopping by tonight and informing us of things that we did not know about that particular office. Also, we want to thank you, the audience, for listening. If you have a business or service, please consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, if you like the content, what we do here, we do our due diligence in bringing you current and up-to-date stories, things that you need to know about that are going on right here in Fort Worth. We do it here on our show, and we also cover hot topics on our Facebook page. So definitely follow us on social media on our Facebook page. Drop us a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Again, if you have an idea for a show, if it's in line with what we do here, we will definitely consider it. Believe that. We will definitely consider it. Also, y'all, play the Como. Adrian and I have been inboxing each other back and forth about what's going on in Como. But listen, it's some prayer needed out there because there's too many people dying in Como on a weekly basis. That's just not natural. It's one square mile. I mean, and go and look at the numbers of the number of people that are dying in Como on a weekly basis. Is it in the soil? Is it in the water? Is it something else that's going on? But pay attention to the death tolls that are mounting in Como. Okay, y'all, until next, what we do. Same bat time, same bat channel next Friday. Good night.